We left on a Thursday, took a flight down to Peru, Lima, Peru, and it took pretty much the whole day, from driving to the airport in Birmingham to flying first to Miami and then from Miami down to Lima. And by the time we got there, it was night. The airport was full of individuals who wanted to get us in their vehicle to carry us wherever. Spooky, you know, it seemed to be a rough part of town. But we eventually went down to a section that was safe and stayed in this hotel where Fausto Leon, that's who we support there in Lima. He is the guy in the center, and I believe this, he is here. I hope these pictures come out a little clearer than what I see from here. But on the far left is Jerry Sandlin, then Burt Wilson, Fausto, myself, and then Bob Watson. So we spent a day together there with Fausto. And just to show you where we went to, Lima is the capital city of Peru. I have the big arrow pointing toward that. That's actually eastern of the United States. I've always, when I was a child, thought Pacific Ocean, it had to be out near California. But it's actually east of us. So they would be in the eastern time zone, but they don't go by daylight savings and all of that. So they were same time as us. So that helped. But we spent the day there in Lima. And then the next day, we got up and flew there north of Peru, and you can see Ecuador is north of Peru. Hopefully, you can see these pictures. Lima is got a beautiful coastline, and the place where we stayed was a town called Miraflores, which is in the city of Lima. I put these pictures here to point out a few things. One, the Catholic Church is there on the left. Catholicism is the major religion there in South America. They have very ornate churches or buildings. They put a lot of time, effort, energy, and money, I would say, into these buildings. To be what I recognized as a dead religion. They are not practicing, but they say they are Catholic. I should say that doesn't go for everyone, but the majority that I saw. The other pictures wanted to point out that you can see that the edge there, the coastline, is sea level, and then rapidly it begins to increase. These cliffs are just right off of the beach, and Lima is actually set right in the Andes Mountains, and so that the city begins to increase in sea level. But it's, you know, the place where we stayed was a little more of a tourist attraction. But it seemed to be the safer location if we were going to stay the night in Lima. So I wanted to point out those things. Then I wanted to show you here, hopefully we can see this, the area where we stayed here is the green circled area, Miraflores, which is down, has a nice little coast area. Out here to the left is the Pacific Ocean. This is the town of Lima, or the city of Lima. Over here in the yellow circle, that's where Fausto began his work. To my knowledge, there was a congregation there that met. I believe it's pronounced Cayo. And so, but then there was a work beginning there in Puente Piedra. I hope I said that correctly. And so that's north, the red circle. And in this area, from reading, if you've read any of his reports, you've seen that this congregation has a need. They are debating with this another denomination, a church of God that is a few buildings down, who are, I guess others are getting them confused and thinking that they are the church of Christ, and so they're out trying to refute what the church of God individuals are preaching, which is that there is a mother goddess in heaven, and they've taken some scripture out of context and they use that as their basis for preaching this mother goddess that is in heaven. And so that seemed to be a really big deal with Fausto, of trying to clear the name of the church. From what I understand, he mainly works with the congregation there in the north. But I pointed out where we stayed in Miraflores, that's where Fausto came to, and he took a bus ride. It's about 11 or maybe 15 miles from where he was. It took an hour on a cram-packed bus, which I didn't put that picture up here of a bus that I took, because most every time that I could take a picture of traffic or anything like that, it seemed as if we were in a very dangerous situation in a vehicle. They do not drive safely in that country, and nor that city, and it seemed as if we were driving fast everywhere we went. So a lot of those pictures I didn't provide here, but those buses would be so packed full of people, and Fausto would get on that bus, spend an hour on that bus, and go to these different congregations. So on this Friday night, he spent the day with us that Friday. Friday night, they had a Bible study already scheduled, Bible study on a Friday night, and that was his plans for that day, for that night. And so we went. We took a taxi in which we didn't realize that we were breaking the law, but we took a taxi ride out to this congregation, and to get us all in one vehicle, they had to put one of us in the trunk. It was like a little hatchback. And so we were sitting up. It was Bert, the largest individual with us, and he was sitting up, and they said, "No, no, no, you have to get down. This is illegal." And so... then we're laughing and taking pictures of Bert, who's, laying down in the trunk. But anyway, we took this trip about 15 minutes somewhere near Miraflores and had this Bible study. We were at this congregation. On the wall, there are pictures. There are pictures of recent, probably all baptisms that have occurred. They have pictures of that. They also have some pictures of visitors that came through. And I actually saw a picture of Frank Walton there. And I took a picture of it, but it didn't really turn out well. But Frank apparently preached at this congregation. Mario is the man that you see in red. He is the preacher there. He has no support. He does everything on his own. And if the members there give a contribution, I guess that is the only support that he has. He built this in the front of his house, and all of the different things that he has there, he purchased or used any contributions to purchase for his church building there. Fausto regularly does Bible study and also worship services with this congregation as well. Mario, his actual name is Francisco Guillen, but as he said, he's Mario. Call him Mario. This is the front of the building, which they have the gate and fence. I'm not sure if it was for security reasons, I take it that it is. But my thought was that the building's not made out of the most sturdy materials. So possibly if someone wanted to get in other than that metal gate, they could probably just cut their way in with a pocket knife. And so I took a picture there of Bert translating. Bob spoke that night. And at the end of Bob's sermon, we sang a song. Mario got up to speak, and you could just see the joy in Mario's face. And he looked at Bob, who was seated on the front row, and several members were there. Mario said, "When are you coming back?" Bob said, "Well, if the Lord wills, I will come back. I would like to come back. I can't tell you when. But if I never make it back here, brother, we will be reunited in heaven." And it was a really touching moment. Bob kind of, he got choked up. And Mario, we all were a little choked up at Bob's words. And Mario nodded after he got the translation. And he said, "When are you coming back?" They're eager. They love us. They love to see us. And so they really have a need. And they really want us to be with them. We then flew to Ecuador, north to Ecuador. We support Elias Davila in Ecuador. And you may have been here, some of you may have been here. Elias actually visited here in this congregation and spoke here. So we've been supporting him for a while, and he lives in Machala, Ecuador. And so I wanted to point that out on this map. Machala is what I have circled there in green. It's in the southern part of the country. A few things I wanted to point out quickly about this map is we flew into this city called Guayaquil and took a three-hour van ride down to Machala, down south to Machala. And it was on a two-lane road, which is maybe parallel to the Pan-American Highway, if not a little bit of an offshoot of the Pan-American Highway. And I point that out because, you know, there were many, many opportunities to thank God for our life when we got back down there to Machala. It's a two-lane road. We were in a van, and there were buses, like big passenger buses, passing other vehicles on the two-lane road. So just seemed to be a very dangerous... I don't know. The culture of South Americans, I'm going to generalize them because I'm putting Peru and Ecuador together. The culture, I've never seen anything like it. The time stands still, okay? So in some sense, that's a good thing because like tonight, I felt like Andrew, which you did a very good job tonight, Andrew. But I felt like, he might have been up against the wall with the time situation. And I've been in that position myself, and it seems like, you kind of in a rush. But it doesn't seem that way there. They don't care. Time does not matter. When they show up to worship, they're there. Talk all you want. They are there. Finish what you're saying, and one of them will get up and talk all they want. They are there. They don't care. But when they get behind the wheel of a car, it all changes. We've got to get from point A to point B as fast as possible and as dangerous as we can do that. So there we are in Machala. And I wanted to also point out real quick, beautiful Andes Mountains, which runs, and you can't see it that well, but there's a green strip that goes through there that signifies the Andes Mountains. Beautiful, beautiful country there. On that three-hour ride, we saw a lot of these huts, which bamboo is typically the wall, just split bamboo. And they're usually elevated on stilts, and this is where these people would live. And they are either beside a banana plantation or a cocoa plantation. And so they're just, you know, if you took a nap and you saw banana trees, when you woke up, you either saw banana trees or cocoa trees. That's just all that was down there. And these people who usually, I took it that they worked in the plantation, had their house there beside it. And I showed this also because Elias lived in the city, but he also lived in basically a hut with bamboo walls, cracks in between. You could just see straight into his house years ago, but he's done very well for himself. And he's built a nice house, and he's doing really well. This is Elias's, the front of his house, and this is where the congregation meets. Those are garage doors that kind of roll up that you see straight in front of you on the picture on the left. The picture on the right is, I took the picture like this on the left, and then I did like this on the right. That van is inside the worship area because that's Elias's garage. So, and I believe that this is the vehicle that he wrecked not too long ago. Well, I know that it is because he said he just got it repaired. And this is also the vehicle that I believe maybe some or one member here also helped him purchase. And so that vehicle actually had a purpose for us, and not just while we were there, but they used this vehicle regularly. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes when I get to that point. But I wanted you to see where they have their worship service. Okay, Saturday night, we're there, and on the left, that Bob spoke, Bert translated, and Bob did a really good job. And if you're not familiar with Bob Watson, he is an extremely great guy, godly man. He preaches at New Hope Congregation in Limestone County. Bert was the only one of us that could fluently speak Spanish, and so he translated every time that anyone spoke. On the right was Sunday morning. We had several other members showed up on Sunday morning than on Saturday night. Probably more like around 8 or 10 came on Saturday night, and then I didn't get a full count. I think Jerry, who's in the restaurant business, counted heads and came up with around 30 on Sunday morning. on the picture on the left, that's after services, several individuals talking, and the lady in the black and white dress is Elias's daughter. Then there are other members there around. And on the picture on the right, that's me and Jerry Sandlin and one of the members, and I don't remember her name, but she was so eager to get our picture, take the picture with us and show her Ecuador bag. She wanted me to put this picture here so you would see her Ecuador bag. Very nice. They just... Before I left, Olin Britnell said, when you go, they're going to eat you up. And so I could only imagine what that meant before I went. And then now I know they just eat you up when you get there. So I show these pictures. There's a story behind this that ties things together. But the lady that you see, she's in the picture on the left and she's in the picture on the right, is Sister Campos, and her daughter is seated beside her. And there was another daughter that I didn't get her picture in this presentation, but they have been one of the most faithful families to be in this congregation to worship with Elias. They've been consistent. They have faithfully stayed with this congregation. And so I pointed that out because we're going to see a picture of her husband in a few minutes, and I'll talk about that when I get to that picture. Now, after church services, I put this here because there's a reason. they fed us so well. They just packed food on our plates and gave us, like, you know, at one time it was this much food plus a bowl of soup. And I'm thinking, you know, look at me, I'm tiny. I don't need this much food. But maybe that's why she kept trying to feed me. But I seem to get the most every time. And so I asked, I said, these beans are really good. And so she got the bowl and brought and started scooping more beans on my plate. They treated us just, you know, so well, very hospitable. You know, be hospitable. They know how to be hospitable. And so they, Jerry was seated. Well, I don't think he was going to sit there, but Elias told him, sit in this chair. And Jerry said, this is comfortable. And he said, let me get you a pillow. And Jerry said, oh, yeah, I like a pillow. And then he said, wait, let me get you this neck pillow. And then so they just kept adding too. They just wanted us to be so comfortable. Now, while we were doing this, eating and relaxing, the World Cup was going on. So we were kind of watching the World Cup, and everything was running along. And then suddenly the greatest thing of the whole trip happened. The lady that you see in the stripe, and I hope that shows up well enough, but the lady that you see in the striped blouse, and she's kind of wiping her eye because she had just told Inez, who's in the background of that picture, that she wanted to become a Christian. She wanted to be baptized. And so immediately, you know, we just stopped everything we were doing. We didn't care the World Cup was going on. We started talking about that. It was really great. And so then we decided we were going to this other congregation that night, Las Palmas congregation. And this stream that you see is where we stopped so she could be baptized. And so that was a great moment. And her name is Carmen. She's actually married to Elias's nephew. Now, this is took pictures here of Elias spoke. Bob baptized. Carmen is her name. And then we went from that point to this Las Palmas congregation. Now, the congregation meets in this area over here under this building. It's just kind of like a little cutout beside this building. And so what you see here is this area here. And you see some of those chairs are the blue chairs that you saw at Elias's house. Those were the chairs that one of the Lewises, or Luis, I guess is his name, there are two Luises, and so one of the Luises owns a truck. And so they take the chairs and stack them up in Luis's truck, and they drive them up into the jungle, this curvy road, chairs strapped in the bed of a truck, and they unload them, unstack them, and have this worship service at this congregation. Now, I talk about that to say this. In the middle of Carmen saying that she wants to become a Christian and the World Cup and being fed, I get a text from Brock Keel, and he says, hey, I've been in touch with Elias, and so I understand that you may be near him. I said, I'm in his house right now. And he says, well, I understand they have a need for chairs. What can you find out about that? So I say, okay, let me ask. And so Bert asks the question, and then Elias stops and gets two chairs and tries to point out this one's sturdy, this one's not. Now, I'm not going to say that Elias was trying to admit that they were descendants of Eglon, but he was saying that the chairs need to be more sturdy because Ecuadorians are typically bigger. So the next day, we go to what I refer to as the Ecuadorian version of Walmart, appropriately named the shopping place. And they have a huge section of chairs. These chairs apparently are huge in Ecuador. And so Elias wants me to sit in each one. You know, he's pulling down chair after chair for me to sit in the chairs. And I finally looked at Bert and I said, look, we got this much money, tell him to pick a chair and run with it. Okay? And so he finally chose these that he said were very sturdy and wide, and that no one would So the college class had decided that they wanted to do this work to help. And so, you know, Brock was just their voice to me. But the college class, and I believe Brent Romine and maybe Greg might have been teaching that class at that time, they've been talking about supporting those that are in other countries. And so I felt like that was, if I could do anything while I was there, that was something good that I could do. So I appreciate the college class for that. All right, this is Mr. Campos. This is Sister Campos's husband. And so I point this out because he had been a faithful member. And he got very involved in a job. And he got more and more involved in a job. And it required a little bit more travel. And he was having to go to the northern part of the country. And he was having to stay. And then he was having to come back home and stay for a little while. And he was so involved in his job, he's fallen away. He doesn't attend. We invited him to go to this worship service that we were going to have that night. He said, I can't come. And it's sad to know that his family has been faithful. He's been faithful. And he knows what to do. But he is so involved in his job that he chooses to work and make money and make a living. The picture there with my finger in it, I'm sorry about that, but I point that out to say that this is Elias' son, and he was leading singing. He's very active in church. His name is Ivan. He and his wife live with Elias for the time being while they finish studies. She's going to be a chef, and he's going to be a police officer. So I showed that because they were so involved. They were so involved in the work there. And not shy about doing anything. You know, you talk about stepping up to do your part. They have no reservation about doing anything. So they'll stand up and sing. They'll stand up and preach. And the home there that you see, that was someone that lives in a village that the gentleman you saw leading songs, his wife is Fernanda. She lived in this village, and there were several members of the church that live in this village because they've converted several members of this village. And this man that works in a banana plantation opened his home, and they meet there regularly. And you could see from the picture there, Jerry Sandlin spoke that night, and it was a packed house, standing room only. It just warmed our hearts to see so many eager individuals to come and hear God's word. It's so great. And another thing that I wanted to point out here with this is that Bob kind of got under the weather, and Jerry stepped up and said, you know, I don't have anything prepared, but I'll speak. And so he prepared a lesson that day and spoke that night. This is Fernanda here, and this is her mom and sister who live in this village, and which incidentally is named October 15th is the name of the village. They name things for months and days for some reason that I haven't researched why they do that. But we took a picture of that family because I felt like from what she told me, they were instrumental in getting so many others to begin or to become members of the church. And so on our way out, we stopped in this little town called Cuenca. I wanted to point this out because Catholicism that I talked about earlier, they had a big festival, a big parade celebration that was going on. And so I don't really know I don't know enough about their religion to know what to tell you, but there was this big statue that they were really going gaga over. And so apparently she's the protector of the police, so they were having a parade full with fireworks that lasted 10 full minutes, a helicopter, a police helicopter that kept circling the city and flashing the lights, and all of these crowds of people coming out for this statue and this little girl that's supposed to be this protector of the police. And then the cathedral there in Cuenca. Finally, I wrap up tonight with a little bit of a story, two stories. One is of a faithful individual. He was a Christian, he's a Christian who has fallen away. He knows what to do. He knows how to live. He knows how to worship. But he chooses to do something different. And then another picture of an individual here in the background. His name is Abraham. Abraham is Elias's nephew. Abraham's not a member of the church. I said, why is Abraham not a member of the church? Bert says, I ask him. And he says, you know, the devil has too much of a hold on me. He's successful. He has his own business. He has his own taxi cab that someone drives. He attends worship service regularly. We can identify with maybe Mr. Campos. Some of us in this room can maybe identify with Abraham. But I hope we can all identify with this lady. It's Abraham's wife. Her name is Carmen. She gave her life to God. If there's any way that you can open your heart and identify with Carmen, come forward while we stand and sing.